What's going on planet Earth? We all see the changes. Can we understand them? Who can tell us? Who can we trust? Many people today believe they are getting messages from sources in higher dimensions on the other side. Who are these sources? And what are they saying? How do we know they're real? Can they provide guidance which is valuable? Why does the Mayan calendar end in 2012? What did Jesus mean by ascension? These are some of the topics we are going to address in the next hour. I'm one of those who have been contacted by these forces, and this will be an introductory talk about how this occurred for me and how I've come to some very unusual insights into what may be the future of humankind. I thank Blogging Services for giving me this platform, and I thank Daphne Karandonis for allowing me to play her harp music for the introduction. Some information which, if it's all true, you're going to find to be very valuable as the next few years unfold on our planet. Over the past 5 years, I've had some very unusual experiences which I'm going to take this time to introduce you to today. I urge you to scrutinize the information and scrutinize me very carefully, because I'm going to tell you things which a person could not figure out as a human. This is information that has come from sources which we could call the celestial realms or higher dimensions or other timelines, consciousnesses which have overseen our planet perhaps for hundreds of thousands of years. Now, as I share this with you, I'm going to start out by telling you a little bit about myself and how I became privy to this information. Some years ago, I was a physics major in Berkeley. And if someone asked me, did I believe in God, I would have called myself an agnostic. I'd say, I don't know. I don't have enough evidence to know one way or the other. So I'm open, and I need some experience. At the time, I began reading many metaphysical books, amongst them, Edgar Cayce. Probably you have some idea who Edgar Cayce is. And if you don't, I recommend you do a Google search and read some of the background on Edgar Cayce's life. Briefly, Edgar Cayce, for 40 years of his life, went into a trance state, and he was able to answer questions that were put to him on any subject, demonstrating virtual omniscience. He could diagnose people's diseases, just given their name and the city they were in. He could recommend alternative cures. He could tell people who they were in their previous lifetimes, and he made many prophecies for the future. He never remembered what he said and never understood exactly how this was occurring. But at the end of his life, in 1945, he left a legacy of 15,000 readings, which his children made available to the public at a library in Virginia Beach. These readings have been studied by many, many, many people. 500 books have been written about Edgar Cayce since the time of his death. And he's become renowned as perhaps the most credible psychic prophet in the history of the Western world. So, when I read Edgar Cayce, I came to the conclusion that he was credible and that there was something far more to life than I could understand. And this was evidence to me, in a certain manner, that there was forces in other dimensions that were making themselves known and believable through Edgar Cayce. So this started me on my own quest to understand these forces myself. At the time, I began playing music, and I began writing songs. And I wanted to discover how life worked. So I spent about 4 or 5 years of my life hitchhiking around the country, playing music at different coffee shops and colleges, writing songs. And during this trip, I experienced what Carl Jung called synchronicity, miracles of perfect timing. I was footloose and fancy free, and every day things would happen that by probabilities, by the laws of probability, really couldn't occur. Little miracles. And I was sitting in the center of it. Also in this time, I met a person who supposedly had Edgar Cayce type powers and could read a person's past life. I had a reading from this person who described the details of a past life of my own in great detail. They told me I was a troubadour in England 1,000 years ago. Well, after the reading, which explained many, many of the patterns I was going through, I realized that I had written a song a number of years before that told the same story of this lifetime in England, except I thought the song was from my imagination. And now I had a validation that this was real. And I accepted that reincarnation had to be the way it worked. This person could not have told me this story, the same story that I had written a song about some years before, and it just be random chance. Well, my intent was to write songs that would describe this alternative reality that I was experiencing and try to explain in the language of the regular person that there was more to life. There was, I didn't understand it completely in my own consciousness as well as I do now, but I did know there was something going on. And I went to Los Angeles to try to be a successful songwriter and bring some of these songs out into the world. And at the time, I probably worked on that project for 4 years and had a couple of songs recorded. I had a song that was stolen, that somebody had rewritten it slightly, became a huge hit. And I freaked out, dropped out of music, ended up losing my whole game at the time for quite a few years. One of the things that the producers of the show have given me permission to do is to play some of the songs that I've written, and they do integrate with the theme of the message. So I'm going to share one of the songs. We've been going into the studio and re-recording them. I'm going to share one of those songs right now.
Sometimes the people, they read the books in order to get the smarts. But until they unlock the words from their heads, they're never gonna find their hearts. Sometimes the people, they look at the sky, all they see is clouds. But you know, Mr. Sunshine, he'd be peeping through the cracks if only he was allowed to dig the spaces. You know what I mean? Dig the spaces. Things just ain't what they seem. Some people like the donut, some people like the hole. Some people want your body, and the rest they want your soul. And the atom has got these electrons going round the nucleus. It was Mr. Einstein, he taught us in quantum mechanics. He said, you gotta dig the spaces. You know what I mean? You gotta dig the spaces. Things just ain't what they seem. Some people's minds are burning. They're looking for a riot. But my mind is like a vacuum. It just wants some peace and quiet. Some people like the words of this song. Some people like the rhythm. But if you're looking for the truth, you're gonna find it in between them. Yes, you gotta dig the spaces. You know. Things seem. Spaces. Spaces. You know.
So, I lost my game. I lost my creativity. for a number of years, I started, was doing mundane jobs. I had kept thinking, I'm going to go back to music. And I just didn't. I couldn't do it. And then in around, I guess, 1999, I said to myself, I'm supposed to be creative. I'm supposed to be putting something out into the world. And I started writing poems. And I realized that I could still write. And I started sending my poems out on the internet. And people started publishing them. And then I got requests to write some articles for some little newspapers and metaphysical magazines. Now, it was in this period that I discovered David Wilcock. And David Wilcock is the subject of the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey. I discovered David's website, and on his website, he told a story that described the reason he felt he had a resonance with Edgar Casey. And I, of course, Edgar Casey had been a huge influence to me early in my life, and I was very, very fascinated with this possibility. I started studying David's site, frontwards and backwards, and I interviewed David for one of the magazines I was writing for. It was a web magazine called Spirit of Mott. And after the interview was published, the editor was convinced also that David was Edgar Casey, and she made the comment that I was the one that was supposed to write the book about it. Now, I had no idea that I could write a book. My attention span is fairly short, and I had been writing songs and poems, and the undertaking of a book seemed an impossible task. But I kept reading David's channeled messages, and I came to the conclusion that it was very, very important to put this out into the world. So in 2000, I began writing the book. And as I was writing it initially, I was certain that David was Casey. And there was a entity, or actually a group soul speaking through David, who had identified itself as Ra. And I was certain that there was tremendous wisdom within the words of Ra. In fact, there was tremendous wisdom guiding me through some of my changes during that period of time. But then, one of the main premises of what David is bringing forth is that our world is in the midst of a dimensional shift, and that we are on the verge of what Jesus called ascension. Now, this is something that I couldn't prove to myself. And at first, I had the idea that maybe I should leave this out of the book. But it was David's main theme. And there was no way that I could write this book and not include that. And so I did. And I did it in a way that said the reader could make up their own mind and presented the case. This was in 2000 that I began the process, and I had finished a first rough draft of the book 2 years later. And this is where things turned around for me. This is where I had this amazing experience that's been going on up till the present of my own encounter with what we would call these sources on the other side that were making themselves available to me to answer all my questions. How this occurred initially was I met a new girlfriend. This was in April of 2002. And we're going to call her Girlfriend X for the moment. And early on in our relationship, we were taking a drive from Los Angeles to Portland. And it was raining. And the roads were a bit treacherous. So I said, I did a little meditation, a healing meditation, protection meditation. And at the end of the meditation, I looked up at the sunroof of the car, and I said, "Does anybody want to talk to me?" At that moment, she answered and said, "We're here. What are your questions?" I thought she was kidding me, but I proceeded, went along with the game, and asked some questions for the next 10 or 15 minutes. And it didn't sound like her. And at the end of the 15 minutes, I said, "That was you, wasn't it?" And she said, "That was the strangest thing that happened to me." Well, 3 days later, I asked her if she wanted to try it again. And she said, "Okay." And this time I took a tape recorder out, and I tape recorded the conversation. And I said, "Does anybody want to talk to me?" Again, there was an answer. And I thought I'd read to you a couple paragraphs of how this went directly from the original transcription. "When, is anyone here? Does anyone want to identify themselves? Good evening. We bring forth to you knowledge of the higher intergalactic species of the Lone Star System Alcyon. This is to be our first recorded transmission to you, and we are pleased to announce our engagement of technological meshing with your channel so that we may bring forth to you information of a needed higher caliber for transmission and integration at this particular frequency and station and knowing pertinent to the incoming questions. Have you questions this evening, Mr. Nguyen?" "Nguyen, can you describe how you perceive our channel's consciousness when we ask for your presence?" Answer: "This is a multi-level diagrammatic question, and our present channel is a very wideband receiver station calibrated for exceptional galactic clairaudience and claircognition, which, when tuned to the proper channel below the current threshold of consciousness, shall make inroads into accessing very pertinent information at this time of transition." "Nguyen, any answers as to why Girlfriend X wishes she wasn't in a body?" "This said entity, contractually, is very far from her home, some 30 to 40,000 light years. She is an outpost messenger, so to speak. It is as if a person is living in an extremely foreign country with virtually no one to communicate. It is a spiritual homesickness rather than a moral or ethical weakness on the part of this entity. There have been many lifetimes of service, and this culmination is a highly respected yet sacrificial homage taken by this entity and many of her wayshowers." Well, you get the idea. This, I could not believe she could make that kind of language up. It sounds like a Star Trek script. Now, I'm not sure if this is positive. I'm not sure what to make of it. But I decided for the next period of time that I was going to continue to have these conversations, ask questions, and tape record them. So the next time we did this, I told them, I said, this is a bit like science fiction. And maybe some part of my girlfriend's personality is fragmenting, and she's making it up. Can you predict a newspaper headline in advance? And they said, yes, they could. And they said, watch for this headline, Memorial Day weekend. This was in 2002, and Memorial Day weekend was 2 weeks away. So 2 weeks later, I thumbed through the newspaper, and sure enough, there was the headline they predicted. So I knew I was having a real contact. Now, it was a little bit embarrassing to me, keeping in mind that here I had been writing this book about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and suddenly I have a girlfriend that's precognitive, channeling. Over the next period of time, I had the opportunity to ask question after question about any topic I could think of. I asked about what was my past life with my landlord? Did I know my dog in a past life? And I also asked all these questions I had about ascension that I was writing in the book. And something amazing happened because they answered exactly the same answers as I had written in the book. It's something my girlfriend did not know. And this really struck me because it made me think either I had the correct information or else there was some kind of disinformation on the other side trying to bring the wrong information through two different sources. But the source didn't seem negative. They were very wise. They were very wise in the way they would counsel me and help me understand things. They did not take my power. They did not tell me to do anything. They just invited me to ask questions. Well, they did identify themselves. They identified themselves as the Council of Elohim. And I went on the internet and did a search on the word Elohim, and I found that it was a name for God in the Old Testament, and it was also the name of the group that was talking to Joseph Smith when he started the Mormon Church. So I asked them, are you the same Elohim? And they said, we're part of the same. And I said, why me? And they said that I was like a cosmic midwife and that I knew how to bring these things out into the world and that what was happening was extremely important and they were available to answer my questions. Well, during this period of time, I had another very, very phenomenal event occur for me. And that was, I asked them about my sister's health. Again, keeping in mind, this was the period from May to September 2002. My sister has lupus, and she's somewhat disabled. And I asked them, is there anything I could tell my sister that would help her health? And they said my sister had bad health because she used her health subconsciously as a way to get attention, and that she tended to drain people's energies, and that's why I hadn't seen her for 12 years, which was true. And then they said in 3 months, my sister was going to face a decision where she was going to have to choose whether to live or to die. Now, I didn't know how to use this information. I didn't know if I believed it. I called her son, my nephew, and Danny said, well, it's just life is normal, nothing different. 3 months later, her husband called me and said my sister was going into the hospital and they had discovered this huge cancer tumor and they didn't think she was going to make it. Well, we did a channeling that evening and I asked, is there anything they could do to help my sister? And they said, because I asked, they would help. And my sister survived the operation. I'm thinking that it has to be coincidence. It can't be because I asked this voice coming through my girlfriend that my sister's life was saved. But 5 weeks later, 5 or 6 weeks later, my sister had to go in for tests to see if the cancer had returned. The nurse told her the cancer was completely gone. But there was something wrong with the test because they couldn't measure my sister's lupus. And lupus doesn't disappear. So now I was convinced that there was interaction and that they saved my sister's life. Girlfriend X was kind of scared about all of this, and she couldn't believe that anything that important could happen through her. And she was discounting the value of this whole experience. I had asked, I said there must be a group somewhere that would find this important. We were very isolated, living alone, and I asked them if they could give me any guidance of what to do. And they suggested that she and I go to Mesa, Arizona. Well, we didn't go to Mesa. I was actually planning it in September to at least spend a weekend there. But we never got there. And she left. And for 6 weeks, I really suffered. I went into my songwriter's sadness. I started writing some songs again, some heartbreak songs. And finally, 6 weeks later, I called my old girlfriend. We'll call her Girlfriend Y. And I asked her if she would spend the night with me. And she did. She came over. And in the middle of the night, she woke me up. And she said, get the tape recorder out. Now, I had invited her, I guess about 2 months earlier, to a channeling with Girlfriend X. I felt like somebody needed to witness this because I was intuiting that she was really unhappy and she was going to leave. And so I got the tape recorder out and they started coming through Girlfriend Y. Now, at first, I didn't believe it was real. I thought Girlfriend Y was making it up. She was competing with Girlfriend X. But I started asking some questions, and there was no way she could have given me those answers. So they said that I was being paid a lot of attention to, and that I could reach them through Girlfriend Y with my questions, and that what I was doing was very important, even though I wasn't getting much appreciation from the world at large. And so over the next couple of months, I started asking questions on behalf of other people that I knew. I asked their permission if I could do that, although they thought I was a wacko. And they demonstrated, the Council of Elohim demonstrated, a great awareness of everything and everyone that I asked questions about. And it was an awareness that was very profound. It looked at the person's inner conflicts. It was never a psychic type reading. It was always with a tremendously wise look at that person's life. And then, a few months after that, I told girlfriend why. Let's take a trip to Mesa, Arizona. Mesa, Arizona was where they said we would find people that had affinity with what I was doing. So we spent the weekend at Motel 6 in downtown Mesa. And truthfully, I thought this was going to be a wild goose chase. But I looked up metaphysical bookstores in the phone book, and there were none in Mesa. Then I looked up churches, trying to find some New Age church, and there were no New Age churches in Mesa. But while I had the yellow pages open to churches, I noticed that there were 3 pages of Mormon churches compared to like maybe a half a page of everything else. So I remembered the connection between the Elohim and Joseph Smith, and I started to wonder if they meant for me to introduce myself to the Mormons. Well, Sunday morning we did a channeling and I asked that question. And the answer was, not the entire church. There is a group here, a small group, that will be very interested in what you're doing. And so I asked, how am I going to find that group? And they said, go to the church on blank blank Avenue. And they gave me the name, a street name. Well, sure enough, there was that church in the phone book on the street that they had said. So I left girlfriend Y in the motel, and I attended the service that morning, and I went up to the bishop, and I asked him if he would talk to me. He invited me back into his quarters, and I sat with him for 2 hours and told him the story of the Elohim channelings between 2 girlfriends, and that they guided me to his church by street name. Well, he said that Mormons believe that anyone can be a prophet, and that he wasn't going to say that what was happening to me was not real. And then he invited me to speak to 3 of his church members the next day. So this time I brought girlfriend Y with me. We went over to someone's home, and again I told the story. And in the middle of telling the story, girlfriend Y interrupted and said, there's something they want me to tell you. And of course, all eyes turned to her, and she said, the Elohim want you to know that they're hearing your prayers. And at that point, everyone started to cry, including myself. And for the first time, I was really sure that I was talking to the Elohim. I would say up to that point, I was open to the idea, but I wasn't going to believe it just because they said so. But at that moment, I believed it. And so, essentially, this is how I've arrived at my own understanding of this period of time that we're in. I should add that there was one more thing that happened to me during the time I was with girlfriend X. And that was, I formulated the question of how can I connect better with the parts of me that exist on other dimensions. And they said, we suggest you start writing your dreams down and you'll connect with your own celestial counterpart. That night, I put a pad by my bed, and I was quite aware of the procedure because I had actually written the procedure of recording your dreams in my book. And when I woke up to look at the pad and see what I had written the night before, there were sentences. Went something like this. We're not doing this for entertainment. It has a serious purpose. You're supposed to be the spokesperson. It's the insanity of passion that makes things happen in the real world. Communication from another dimension, just like Casey. He slept to connect with this dimension. Compare what you already know with the new information. Through your dedication to love, serve, and care, the negativity disappears. Well, these dream messages have been happening ever since. And I believe they're coming from the same group soul that is speaking through David Wilcock, that spoke through through Edgar Casey. In fact, when I first started investigating David, I had a reading from him. At the end of the reading, they said, "Watch your dreams, because we'll be giving you more information." And I didn't really pay attention to that at the time of the reading. But I remembered it, of course, when I started getting these messages. So, this is what's brought me to the present place of my own mission to get this out into the world, to share it with others, and to give the guidance for what's happening over the next few years. I thank you for listening to the story that was somewhat abbreviated. There is a website up called Conversations with My Girlfriend, where you can read more. And I detailed all the specifics in a little book that you can get there. You can also, and I really highly recommend you read The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey, which is available at www.caseysback.com, CAYCESBACK.com, or available by phone at 800-3456-665. In the next part, in the remaining time for the show, I'm going to give a quick overview of the things I've learned that are happening in the world. And at some future time, I hope to go into more detail. And so as a short segue, I'm going to play another song. It's called Everything You Touch Becomes a Part of You.
Everything you see, everything.
going nowhere special. At the speed of light, everything you touch becomes a part of you. Everything you touch
So where is all this leading? I've given you the background information on myself so that you can see how I have come to have this understanding, which I believe may be the real understanding of what's happening on our planet. And I'll take the moment now to close this hour to share with you what I have learned from all these questions and answers, all writing my book about David Wilcock, and my own dream messages. Now, in the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, who speaks through David, and by inference, who was speaking through Cayce, is a group soul who has identified themselves by the name Ra. Who was speaking through my girlfriend was the Council of Elohim, who was also a group soul. Both of these groups have identified where they came from. And originally, millions or perhaps billions of years ago, they were humans who had gone through lifetime after lifetime of evolution, a ladder of evolution, spiritual evolution, to the point where they now exist outside of time and are assisting lower level populations like ours in their evolution. Ra was from Venus, and the Elohim was from the Andromeda star system. They both act differently and have different functions. One of the amazing things that happened for me was when I originally was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there was this explanation of what's called a dimensional shift and ascension in the book through David. And I realized I had to include it in the book, although I could not validate that part of it for myself. And then when girlfriend X started channeling, I asked all these questions that were brought up by my writing the book, and I got exactly the same answers from the Council of Elohim. So I started to think that I did have the correct answer. Empty space is not empty. Empty space has what we could call etheric energy, Some scientists, metaphysical scientists, call it the unified field. And this is an energy that is the precursor to our physical universe. Our solar system moves through this energy, and although it's distributed everywhere, it's not evenly distributed. It has peaks in it. And the peaks, the highest peaks, occur 75,000 years apart. Our solar system is going through a peak of that energy right now, which is causing tremendous changes throughout the solar system. David Wilcock did a lot of research on things on other planets and found that there's credible scientific documentation from NASA and different universities of all the changes occurring in the entire solar system. For example, planets are getting brighter, magnetic fields are changing, many, many things. And of course, we can see on our planet the changing weather patterns, the increase in natural disasters. We know about the increase in solar flares. This is all due to this increased energy in the etheric field, the unified field, that our solar system is passing through. This particular time period has been known by the sources in other dimensions, in higher dimensions, forever, because it's a cycle that's like a clock. And this is the period that our solar system passes through this field. This is causing our planet to go through an energetic shift or an energetic upgrade. And what that means is that the requisite lesson on the planet is in the process of changing. For the past 75,000 years, the lesson here revolved around what you could call the third chakra, or power and individuality. And the new lesson, the new rule here, is compassion and empathy, i.e., for going from the solar plexus to the heart. In order to continue on this planet in its new evolutionary upgrade, a human must have their heart chakra open, their heart energy open, 51%, or a 51% dedication to service to others. This allows your energy field to match the new energy vortex that's being created by the planet. For a period of time, both dimensions are going to exist simultaneously. And there's going to be a division of people, those following the old paradigm, power and individuality, and those in the new paradigm, compassion and empathy. In the very near future, there's going to be a separation where people, and this is pretty amazing, are going to actually move through dimensions from the third dimension to the fourth dimension while they're in their body, in the process which Jesus called ascension. Now, according to my information, this is going to happen in waves between 2009 and 2017. And during that period of time, there's also going to be tremendous earth changes, perhaps a pole shift, and the acceleration of the of the changes we're seeing now are going to increase tremendously, particularly in the period between 2009 and 2012. The first wave of ascension is supposed to happen sometime around 2009, and the last sometime around 2017. After 2017, those people that are still here and that are still in the old paradigm are going to be moved to another planet to start over and relearn the lessons that they didn't learn here. Another planet in another star system that still is dedicated to third dimension evolution. The next couple of years is extremely important for each of us to be able to keep our heart energy open. There are forces that are intentionally designed to create fear, and we are going to have circumstances on the planet to invoke fear, and it's very important to be able to develop the spiritual muscle and wherewithal to rise above that temptation to go into fear, because fear will block this process. Fear is the antithesis of love, and fear will cause you to keep your heart closed and make it so that you're not eligible to go through these dimensions. My book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, explains this in great detail, and half the book is dedicated to the direct messages coming through the group soul, Ra, coming through David from this group soul, explaining how this all works. And this is done not in a religious sense or in a way that creates blind belief. There's a huge body of evidence and a tremendous amount of wisdom that helped draw this conclusion. The Mayans were very aware of this cycle, and this is why the Mayan calendar ends in 2012. The understanding of how this works can be very, very important to your own evolution. In the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, Ra explains how our planet was used to bring people from other planets who didn't go through their ascension process to start over on their evolution. And our planetary population is made up of many people from many different planets. Each race is essentially from another planet. And apparently, this was not a normal procedure, and it was a test to bring planetary populations together on one planet and evolve them as a group. But the test didn't work out too well, as we know, because instead of evolving together and living in harmony, all these different groups ended up competing with each other, and we're left with the world as it is today, with a lot of hostility and anger and hate. And this was not the intention, but unfortunately, it's the way it's worked out. I'm going to finish this hour with an excerpt from my book, from the chapter entitled Ra on Ascension. And thus, there is indeed a very concrete reason for why many of you are feeling so out of touch, so so compelled to look back through the past and deal with the issues as they emerge. Indeed, it is the compelling force of the Christ consciousness that is blowing the doors wide open and expanding the limits that now surround you. We do see that this expansion is similar to the expansion of the womb in the contractions prior to the birth of the Christ child. It is not a simple process by any means, but one which requires all those who participate to hold their breath, to clasp hands gingerly together, and look down with fear and awe at the massive force coming from within that is necessary as the final push towards birth is then made. Similarly, see these birth contractions of the collective human fourth dimensional mind as occurring now. Do not fail to separate the personal issues within the self from those issues occurring in the world at large, for to do otherwise is to not grasp the full realm of possibilities that await you. See your own life as the material for part of a great cosmic joke. The punchline has yet to come, but come it will. Right now, you are being set up for the final blast of love energy. That part kicked in at the end that then makes everything else snap together, leading to peals of uproarious laughter. So too will this ascension be the capstone that then holds together the shaky foundations of everything that now seem so disjointed. The chief cornerstone is being lowered back into place. It is very ironic that very few of you have truly realized that this is what is taking place. That was an excerpt from the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and those were the words of Ra directly in one of the chapters. I do realize that the topics that we've discussed today are not things that you can just believe easily, and my greatest hope is to inspire seeking in yourself and researching in this next few years so that if this is true, you can be prepared. My book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, is available in stores. It's also available on my website, www.caseysback.com. or at 800-345-6665. And if you order it at those last two places, you also get a free cassette of a talk I gave at the Bodhi Tree Bookstore in Los Angeles. You can also read about my experiences with my girlfriends at www.conversationswithmygirlfriend.com. And you can also read some of my poems and some of my history as I've written it up at www.winfree.com. And I wish you love and light on your own path.
You have been listening to a Blog In Broadcasting service, a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much, and good night.